Yeah. Gotta project from the diaphragm.
Or actually, you need to make a little sting. That's what would work at that point. So you should actually produce a sting and insert it at that point. Do you know what I mean?
Like, boom, like
noise. Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, that's it. So, except he can use his voice.
Bing bong.
Oh my god, clearly not in the presence of trained journalists.
Who let the dogs out?
We're just too poor for an engineering team.
Saturday morning crazy show. Bob and the dog. Now back to you.
Rick D's in the weekly top 40. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We had Casey Kasem.
China.
Hello, everybody. This is David Tan, and welcome back to China MSG. This week, we have a special guest whose name is...
So my name is Banu. Not Banu, as you guys keep saying.
Who?
Banu.
Who?
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 Or you can call me Brown Sugar. My radio name's Brown Sugar.
Who?
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 And as you can probably tell from my voice, I have been on the radio quite a lot.
My voice is like so sexy.
Hashtag modest.
So your name is Banu?
Banu.
Banu.
Yeah.
So Banu?
Banu.
Has been in China for a long time. She's going to discuss with us some questions we had on her mind and give us her input.
It's great to be here, guys. Thanks for inviting me on the show.
You're welcome, Banu.
So my name is Banu.
Like always, I want to mention that you can check out our Facebook. It's Facebook China MSG. We are also on Podomatic. That's Podomatic. And then search China MSG.
Don't forget to mention our Twitter.
Oh, yeah. And we're also on Twitter now. Go to Twitter and check China MSG Pod. That's China MSG Pod. Enjoy this episode with Banu.
Who?
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 So my name is Banu.
And we'll see you in about an hour. Mostly dope she wear. Frank kill niggas wise for 1.5. While you struggle and strive, we pick which bins to drive. The mafia, you wanna be them? Most of y'all niggas can't eat without per diem. I'm rich, I'ma stay that bitch.
I was talking with David, and we had all these questions like, oh, how should we split it up? And I was like, well, you know, we're gonna be talking to Banu. She kind of knows a little bit about this. You were a reporter? Are you a reporter? A journalist? What's the difference?
Between a reporter and a journalist?
Okay, yeah. Who are you?
What is your name? Ooh. Who are you? And why have I eaten your food in your house two times already?
So,
shit just got real.
First, let the lady introduce yourself. What's your name?
Okay. So my name is Banu. Not Banu, as you guys keep saying. It's Banu. It's a long bar.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
And you never corrected me?
Well, I mean, you're blonde and you're pretty. Whatever. I make exceptions.
Jeffrey Wong is blonde and pretty, folks. Jeffrey Wong is blonde and pretty.
And he does a mean Russian accent. Give us some Russian.
Okay, moving on.
And he's turning red as shit right now.
Anyway, yeah. So my name is Banu.
What's your name?
Banu. Banu, yeah. Or you can call me Brown Sugar. My radio name's Brown Sugar. And as you can probably tell from my voice, I have been on the radio quite a lot. So I did journalism. Hashtag modest. No, I legitimately am obsessed with the sound of my own voice. It's so cool in the headphones, seriously. Jeffrey's plugging out my headphones.
Yes, I think that's necessary.
Yeah, this is getting out of control. Oh, for sure, stop complimenting yourself nonstop, okay? And let's get back to the ranch.
My voice is like so sexy. Banu. Banu.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Okay, so anyway, I was born in Singapore and I grew up in Australia and I now live in China and I have Indian in my background. So it's a complicated story, but at the same time not. And I met these crazy guys out on Yongkang. As you meet everyone in Shanghai. And here we are. So
when you say you have Indian in your background, are you not Indian?
I am Indian fully, ethnically.
Okay.
But I wasn't born there, nor my parents, nor their parents.
Do you speak?
I do.
Ooh. Do you dance?
You might have some inside information, but yes, I dance.
Ooh. And can you cook curry?
I can cook curry. Again, inside information.
I think the boxes are checked. She's Indian.
Check, check, and check.
The hyphens come out.
Yeah, the hyphens. So what is that? What is that? What?
I actually wrote an article for a publication once. If you Google me, that's the first thing that comes up.
Okay.
Funnily enough. But yeah, it's, you get used to it and you are whoever you are. And
what is the hyphenated life?
Well, you know, it's when you're Indian hyphen Singaporean hyphen Australian hyphen Chinese. Because, yeah, fine, I'm not actually Chinese, but I feel Chinese. So that makes me Chinese, right? You guys feel Chinese? Come on, asked for chopsticks to eat your burrito with.
We live here. It's part of our experience. It's part of our background. I mean,
So I just came back from vacation, and I have a good friend of mine, and she introduced me to her friends, and she always like, oh, hi, this is my friend Jeffrey. He's from China. And it got to the point where...
Did they introduce you like that?
Oh, all the time. She would introduce me always, this is my Chinese friend Jeffrey, or this is my friend from China, Jeffrey, or whatever. It got to a point where people were getting disappointed.
It's like, oh, he's not really Chinese.
Well, because she would call and be like, oh, I'm going to bring my friend Jeffrey. And I would show up and dinner party and be like, oh, where's Jeffrey? No, but I mean, your Chinese friend, Jeffrey. Well, it's him. Yeah.
So what are you hyphenated then? Hyphenated?
I just say I'm from Hawaii or from Montreal, depending who I'm speaking with.
Do you have a hyphenated?
Yeah, I mean, my family's from Hawaii, but I grew up in Oregon and Hawaii, kind of. So, yeah, you know. And then...
So Banu. Banu, yeah? Is that what you're talking about? Like just the different places that you are from?
That you identify with.
You identify with.
Yeah.
Makes those hyphens. No matter if you are ethnically or you're... But the culture or the place that you lived in for a long time actually can be part
of
your hyphen.
Definitely.
So let me ask you this question. Doesn't it make it easier here? Because everyone... In especially our foreigner circle. Do you find it easier than when you're running this kind of international expat circles, everyone's from somewhere else?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say it's easier or harder. It is what it is. And some people have more hyphens and some people have fewer. I mean, some people are just able to say, I'm American. And that's, you know, sometimes I envy that. There's like no other explanation required. I'm American.
Of course you do. American, number one.
I would say most or half, at least, of the people I run into and interact with on the street, in the stores, in the restaurants... Actually, majority are not from Shanghai, you know, so everyone has a hyphenated story of where they're from here, Chinese or foreign.
Right, of course. But how long have you been here, Banu?
I'm on year 8.
Year 8.
I know it isn't as long as Jeffrey, or maybe even you, David.
Oh, for sure. David's been here the longest.
Hectic.
Yep.
Because it's year 8, I feel like it's my lucky year. Let's see.
You know, and that's one thing you don't really allow, they don't allow you here in China, I don't think, is you don't really get the hyphenated. No matter how long you've been here.
Hey, I got my little red book.
Huh?
My alien book. My alien permit.
But what I was saying with the official hyphen, but can you actually, do they actually allow that to? Because if you're in the States and you say, I'm a Japanese American, Japanese hyphen, or Chinese, or a Hawaiian, or Polynesian, or whatever, that's more of an acceptable thing. We say, oh yeah, he's Polynesian Hawaiian, or Polynesian Hawaiian American. I just don't think that the community here allows you to be Chinese.
I understand what you mean, because sometimes...
If I say I'm Chinese, and like the joke you're saying, like they say, well, my friend from China. Yeah, you're from China, but even though I've been here 10 years, you've been here 8 years, you guys going on 10 years as well. I mean, it's like, you're not Chinese, even though I'm way more into this culture than I am mainland United States.
Would you be fair to say it's the same way to say you're Indian, because you've never really... You're not Indian at
Jeffrey,
all.
Jeffrey loves bringing this up.
Well, I mean, the same. I do bring this up more than once, but I'm just saying, isn't it the same thing? I mean, because it's not nationality and ethnicity; it's ethnicity.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's nationality, and when you hyphenate, you get to use both if you want, or neither, or whatever.
But do you need to do that? I mean, okay, and we might be going into way too much into this conversation of the depth of what people are, but do you need to do that? Be Indian. Australian, is that even valid if you've never been to India or born in India or
well, that's what Jeffrey brings up, right? He reckons that I'm not really Indian because I've never lived there. But
I know
what you mean.
Argument. I don't really mean that, you know.
I know you don't.
Okay, good. I just want to make it clear.
But
so are African Americans Africans?
Yeah, good comparison. And I think Americans in general tend to say I'm American full stop, regardless of their ethnic background or their cultural background.
Right.
But in the Asia Pacific region, it's a bit more complex. And I think there's a bit more or the connection to your past and your heritage is probably less tenuous than it is in the US. That's my gut feeling anyway. So, but then again, you know, look, I have Sri Lankan friends who moved to Australia as refugees, and they certainly don't call themselves Sri Lankan Australians. They just call themselves Australians. So maybe there is some kind of emotional baggage that comes with whether you add something to your hyphen or not.
You know, I think part of it, just being in China specifically, is, you know, if you ask someone where they're from, they're probably going to talk about their family's hometown where you know, even to where their grandparents are buried, you know, that's considered like your place of origin in some ways in traditional culture here, right?
Yeah, and I think when you apply this to China, especially if you're not from here, what you forget is, you know, like when you're in the States, oh, Chinese people, you think this 1 billion blob of people. Yeah, there's some rich ones, there's some poor ones, but there's a lot of subdivisions when you come to China. Chinese investment in Africa, for example, right? And there'll be provinces competing against themselves because, you know, that's part of what drives them there. And for example, Hebei province, or Henan, is one of the big ones that's present in Ghana. And if you're not from Henan, it's going to be hard for you to get a foothold there because they bring industry from Henan, they hire from Henan, the management from Henan. If you're not Henan, you're out. Go do it for a different African country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a lot of division, racism, and elitism within China, depending what city. I mean, we're in Shanghai. When I have staff hiring people, the first question they ask is, are they Shanghainese or are they the rest?
Yeah.
Correct.
You know.
Are they YD Ren?
Yeah, YD Ren, which doesn't matter. As long as you're not Shanghai, there's, you know, a million places you could be from in China. But if you're not Shanghainese, it doesn't really matter.
But let's bring it back to the expat community or the foreign community. The foreigners here, I can't claim to be Chinese.
Of course not.
That sucks. But if I was 10 years in America, I could be just as American.
Yeah, so it's very different. I mean, just culturally different, just the way it is. I mean, yeah. And there's, you know, I think immigration to China is just dawning on even the Chinese government of like, oh, hey, we're going to have to.
This might be a thing.
And this is a thing. You know, when you talk about how many people, expats, they expect to be moving into China, immigrating here for work and jobs. That's something that the U.S. has been dealing with and on a cultural level, legal level, all these different levels for...
And they did have a hard time doing it, too.
For a very long time.
Yeah. Oh, Singapore as well. Yeah. Australia.
Yeah. Yep. Sure. I just think what's interesting, you know, it may be that it's a matter of time, or it may be something like, if you look at cases like Japan, for example, where they've had immigration for quite some time, but it seems to me from everything I know and understand here is that it's just not changing. You know, it's like either Japanese or you're just never going to be Japanese.
That's
not a pro-immigration country.
Exactly.
Or a culture.
It's hurting their culture and economy because, you know, they need to invite more people to immigrate to help them develop and work because they're getting older as a population and they need younger workers. They don't have enough babies. And in a place like the U.S., you can always bring in people and integrate into the society and culture and let people become Americans and grow your population that way. But Japan, it's not going to be the same.
I mean, Canada, that's the only reason the Canadian population is growing is because of immigration. Yeah. No other reason. I don't know about U.S. population.
I think me and you talked about, we already had a solution to this. The stupid meme we saw the other day or article was if you're poor, you're an immigrant, and if you're rich, you're an expat. So that meme, I thought was just.
It was an actual
article.
Forbes or something.
Yeah, something like that.
So the article was this: why is it if you're poor, you're an immigrant or a migrant or a migrant worker?
Right.
But if you're rich and white, you're an expat.
Right.
That's a very good point.
No, actually, it isn't.
It's a horrible point
when you start breaking apart, I think.
If I would think about what might be different would be, I think expats typically are
temporary.
Short-term, temporary.
Yes, that's it, transient. Yeah? Mm.
But there's a lot of people I grew up around whose families immigrated to work in agriculture in the U.S., in Oregon, from Mexico and other South American countries. No one ever called them expats.
Because they're immigrating.
If you look at the immigration trends in the U.S. now, the immigration flows has stopped as the U.S. economy has slowed down. And many people you talk to, close friends of mine included, from living back there, talk about, you know, they want to come here and make some money, but they want to go back home and be with their grandparents back in Mexico or Guatemala.
Actually, we didn't think about that angle of it.
Which angle?
Mexican worker.
No,
migrant worker.
I mean, there is a difference, but okay.
So what is an expat
in China? Expats come in all different.
So then, okay,
Banu
is
brown as night.
she's actually pretty. 100%
expat.
She's sitting behind, like in front of all this brown cabinet.
Yes.
At a brown table.
Yeah. So
yeah, she's
fading,
just a shirt hovering.
She is everything.
Like
but,
I'm wearing
you know,
a white shirt.
She's an expat through and through. Meanwhile, we are working 47 immigrant jobs. You know.
Yeah. Exactly.
And we
only 27 jobs, lazy boy.
And a lot of people come here, especially the way we did. you know, you're from abroad, you come here to looking for opportunities, but you're hustling. And, you know, I did not consider myself an expat. I mean, I am an expat, but I did not consider myself an expat until you have an expat package, you know, or an expat, you know, some kind of expat deal, which is you're with a foreign company, or you're kind of, you brought in as an outside, a foreign expert.
I mean, but for some of us, like you and me, I mean, we're almost illegal aliens at this point, man. We're just not fucking leaving.
You don't have your red book.
I do have it, but it'll be up in a little bit, and at that point, I'm just going to find some angles to stay in the country. I mean, visas.
We've all been there in the beginning. We kind of got more legal the more we stayed. But I'm just saying, for a long time, we just hustled. And I really did not consider myself an expat because a company did not bring me here.
Yep.
It's semantics. On the boats and on the planes, they're coming to America,
never looking back again. But I mean, jokingly, I always used to joke that my two friends here, Jeffrey and David, were my anchor babies in China while I was back in the States.
Do you know what an anchor baby is?
Planning to come back.
I can imagine. Like a sugar daddy?
No. Oh my God.
Okay, so tell me what an anchor baby
is. Okay, anchor baby is kind of people who come from other countries into the U.S. just in time to have a baby in a U.S. hospital so they can basically have a U.S. citizen as a child. Then they may or may not go back home, but they have that baby as a U.S. citizen, like an anchor baby, like throwing an anchor over into the U.S.
Gotcha.
Is where the term comes
actually
from.
I know somebody in the States right now doing just that.
Yeah. I was when I was on vacation, I went to a shopping mall, a big
bus.
Minivan comes by, bus
unloads pregnant Chinese moms,
gang of Chinese mothers come up all pregnant, you know, like 8 months.
Why would they roll up in a minivan anyway?
A minivan full of pregnant Chinese moms.
Yeah, they're taking them shopping.
Hello.
They're taking them shopping.
I post this on our Facebook. But right outside Wally's in our house, there's ads for that.
A big poster advertisement.
Shut up. Huge.
Come
lots
to the
of
U.S. to have your baby. Coming to
America. No.
Yes. I can show you right now.
No, we need to we need to take a picture and post it. Coming to
America. It's an industry.
And,
no, it's not. It's illegal business.
It's not illegal to do that.
What?
To go to the U.S. and have your baby.
No, there's nothing illegal about that.
Oh, are you serious?
Why is that illegal? What's illegal is crossing the border and telling the immigration agent that you're here for tourism, but you're actually here to give birth. That's
so you can
illegal.
Tell them that you're going to give birth and you can still go in?
I don't know about that, but it's not illegal to give birth. Why is it illegal to give birth?
It's not illegal to give birth, but as you say, you can't lie on your immigration.
So it's the only immigration, but nobody got arrested. Nobody.
I was talking to my girlfriend the other day about this, and I was like, is the United States the only place in the world that you can go there, have a baby, and then they're the
national
citizens?
No, but they
citizens?
Just want the citizenship.
I think Canadians too, maybe.
Yeah, but then why aren't you going to any of the EU countries? Isn't that better?
No. You don't
no,
get automatic. You don't get automatic.
EU is poor.
EU is poor?
Yeah, Europe is poor.
So, but you can, if you have a baby in France, are they French?
No.
Exactly.
No, they're not.
Oh, only the States does this, isn't it?
Yeah.
What about Australia?
No.
Absolutely not. So why does the States allow this?
Wait. Hey, no.
That's what they're built on.
So wait, this is a different topic.
Yeah.
This is
we're
a different
an immigrant
topic.
Country.
Wait, I'm sorry. Before we move on, do you know what an anchor baby is now?
Yes, I know. It's not a sugar daddy.
we were an immigrant country, but now, don't you think this is kind of like taking the piss from
like
other countries?
Like it's outdated?
But I think this is interesting part about China. Like, from what I've heard, is that it's very ambiguous in China. And it's, again,
very ambiguous.
One of the things that they haven't, it's just probably they're just now thinking about, where the mother is Chinese giving birth in China, then that baby is Chinese.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But if the father is Chinese and it's a foreign mother giving birth in China, that baby may not necessarily
it's
be Chinese.
It's not so clear cut. Yeah.
Not so clear cut.
Yep.
So, again, it's like, it's just a newer issue for China, stuff that the U.S. has been thinking about for a very long time.
It's just becoming a reality for these guys here.
It's just becoming a thought of like, hey, there's a lot of inconsistencies in China.
So,
we haven't really thought about it that much.
So wait. I just want to say the packages to do this costs about 80,000, 90,000 RMB starting. It starts at 80 to 90,000, which is...
And that's just a flight ticket then.
Huh?
That's just a flight ticket in the tour group.
That's expensive. How much is 80,000?
Well, no. I know somebody that's going over there for 500,000 now.
Yeah, so I'm saying really? It starts like that. So
ripped
so,
off. Oh, know. They're saying that the Ritz Carlton or what?
80,000 isn't much, dude.
80,000. That's 80. How it starts.
Did you say 8 or 80?
80.
80. Dude, come on, 80. Man. That's $12,000.
Well, that's what it says on the advertising. So that's what the advertising says.
That's how they suck you in.
But wait, wait. What I'm trying to say, and this is what I'm trying to say. A lot of the, and if you're listening from the States, a lot of people will go, oh my God, can't believe they're doing this. Da 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 da. I think the people that the country that loses out of this is China. These are rich, successful people.
Yes, exactly.
Who could afford to fly. They could get visas. So they've got very – I mean, just to get a tourist visa, you need to have employment, da-da-da.
Have so much assets.
And remember
– they're paying for the medical bills. Yeah, they're not getting –
Yeah, they're not getting free health care in the States when they go there. No, they're paying for everything.
I mean, that's a service. So it grows the U.S. economy. And at the end, so this is a rich kid who could bring in money later on who's American and he's not Chinese because you can't have dual citizenship. It's China that's actually losing out. So if the U.S. says, oh, yeah, bring all your rich people over, yeah, come on over. Bring all your money, come on over.
Of course. And that's where I think places like Canada are actually playing it very smart and really taking advantage of the situation and leveraging it and winning is by bringing in the rich investors from Hong Kong into Vancouver, places like that especially, and really developing their cities through immigration.
Yeah.
And you see the effects. You drive across from Seattle into Vancouver.
Oh, my God.
It's like driving from, like, a black and white 1980s into, like, the colored future.
Yeah.
No, it's like, is it really?
It's spotless, clean. It's beautiful. Everything's, like, shimmering and new.
Yeah.
And it's an international city. It's vibrant.
Yeah.
And then you drive across into the U.S. border. It's, like, cracked streets, broken lights.
Seattle, yeah.
Depressing. And there may be people in Vancouver and in Canada who complain about, well, property prices have gone up and this kind of thing. But you look at the development of the city.
Yeah. That's the price you got to pay. Yeah.
Foreign invested money by people who have immigrated there and brought the money. Coming to America.
I don't think it should be, and a lot of people in the States will look at this as, wow, this is just Chinese invading our soil. No, you have to really take a step back and look at it. This is the people you want.
You know, I just think it's one of those things that, you know, it in the U.S. at least, you know, it's probably going to come down as a political issue. And people on the left are going to have one view of it. And people on the right are going to have another opposite view of it. But basically, again, it's one of those things to look at objectively and try to see the whole big picture of how it affects everything positively and negatively.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Very good point. Yeah. Very good point.
But, you know, interestingly, I've been watching some shows even on immigration from Mexico. And they say... somewhere around maybe 4 to 5% of people who are caught crossing the border from Mexico are actually coming from China.
Wow.
I don't know how accurate that is, but, you know, I mean, if you watch those Border Patrol kind of sensationalized TV shows, you do see them catching people from China crossing from Mexico once in a while.
Really? That's
interesting,
that's
right?
Interesting, yeah, super interesting.
So maybe they get a visa to Mexico.
Or getting to Mexico with a bribe.
Yeah, they
probably
maybe they get denied the visa from the States.
Exactly.
And then they just say, okay, well, Mexico.
So, pesos. I mean, this is a little bit off topic, but apparently a lot of illegal immigration from Mexico to the United States occurs not by the border crossing, but just flying. And they just overstay their visas. The fact that we have Banu here, I do want to ask a few things about, because we're three dudes.
Did promise that I was going to class this shit up.
We talked, yeah.
Didn't I?
Yeah. We spent a lot of time and energy bringing this shit into the gutter. And anyways, we got a lot to learn from Banu here.
So you got to be a journalist and help us guide us through this.
Okay.
You know, especially because, one, we don't know how to interview people.
Ah, true, you seem to be doing a pretty good job.
No, we're doing an amazing job. So you're like that Amanpour lady on CNN.
Amanpour. Christiane Amanpour.
That's it. Amanpour?
I thought it was Amanpour.
I thought it was Amanpour. What's her name?
Amanpause?
Christiane. My dad for the longest time wished that I was going to be her. Do you know, when I was in primary school, he'd drive me to school every day and he'd put on the BBC. I think it was Channel 4 or something in the car.
I love the BBC.
Right. And this is all I'd hear every morning on the way to school. Like,
so why do you have such a nice voice?
Yeah, maybe that's where it came from. It didn't even occur to me, but yeah, that might be right. It kind of seeped into my consciousness. But you know what they say about radio DJs? It's because your face wasn't good enough for TV.
Oh, snap.
Oh, really?
Except in my case, that's not true.
Or our cases.
So are you a trained journalist or reporter?
I am a trained journalist, yes.
Okay. And did you work as a journalist?
I did, yes. I was a radio journalist for 3 years.
Oh.
Oh.
Where?
Tell us.
In Australia. I had a drive time show, you know, taking people home from work.
For real?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, you know what I mean.
Rick D's, BBC, right here. I got you. I got you. Continue.
It was a lot of fun, but you know what? It doesn't pay very much. So I got bored of that. And then I came to China.
So did you come directly to China?
Actually, I did a pit stop in Singapore.
You know, what makes somebody in Australia say like, you know what, I'm going to China? Did you speak Chinese at this point?
No. Well, I understood a little bit because growing up in Singapore, the language is sure. around you. But I certainly didn't speak
any. You weren't fluent by any means, right?
No.
And is this true? I heard that you actually studied Chinese first in the Philippines. Is that correct?
We have to bring that up.
Yeah, we sure. We 100% have to bring that up. How did you end up?
See, this is a great place to put a hashtag. Hashtag random. I'll be honest. It's about having the right gap in your schedule, right? And wherever geographically that gap might be, that's where you spend your time. And I made sure that it was a teacher from the mainland. So she was from Shandong province. And she was absolutely amazing. Like literally the best educator I have come across in all my years of being educated.
She
blew my mind.
I've heard some incredible things about the language schools in the Philippines, including that schools that teach.
I was looking at the Confucius language. Institute. Right. And then decided to go with New Concept Mandarin because Confucius only did group settings.
Are you giving a bump?
New Concept Mandarin.
We'll be happy to take them as a sponsor.
So is this the same group as New Concept English, the books through the UK or?
I don't know. Could
be. There's a new concept, yeah.
Could be. Yeah. Like a franchise, yeah.
So we'll give it a bump. China MSG bump.
Nice. Yeah, my Lao Shu was...
So, but again, back to my question. How did you end up decide
you know,
I'm going to China?
I'm going to take this back because why are we asking this question? It's because we're having this conversation before we left the house today. It says, nobody's asking this, how did you get to the Philippines and why the Philippines? No, because nobody has this idea when they're sitting at home in Australia or in the States goes, no, the Philippines is where I'm going next. Or, China. I'm going to go live in China and have a job there because it's not an option.
Like, I think for a lot of people, the world is not an option. I mean, unless you're an immigrant. And yeah, granted, there's a lot of immigrants.
Right.
But really, to a majority of people,
like if we're from the States,
it's not an option.
If I go from Cleveland to Cincinnati, that's crazy. Now going to L.A., oh my, I didn't even think about that. Now going to China. So why the Philippines? Why Singapore? Why?
And how did you even come to that mindset that like, oh yeah, this is something I could do? And I mean, and this is again.
Oh, it's just too much, too much. Go. You go.
Let the lady
this
answer.
It's too much. It's too much.
Let the lady
it's
answer.
It's heavy.
But keep going though, because I want to hear the rest of it.
No,
then
and again, as a woman, you know, as
strictly speaking. As a woman.
Oh, so this is where we're going to
because
as a woman,
is we are three guys. So I don't know. Is there a different perspective? Should there be a different perspective? Are we approaching it in the right way, even when we talk about our experiences?
Should we even be asking that?
Yeah,
is it easier? Is it harder? Is it us being very machismo that we're even having to think about this?
Oh, we could come over, but how on earth did you imagine you could make it over here, kind of thing? These are
but
good
questions.
But thanks
to that skill, we now have the socks on our microphones.
Socks. Not socks. Socks. Oh, boy, oh, boy. I wish I had some amazing feminist power woman story for you, but I moved you for a man. Yeah, that's a great point for a sting again. I think he was trying to
Was he cupping like a ball sack? With a microphone like this.
He was trying to do a beating heart. Hashtag sting fail. Hashtag radio sting fail. Oh my god. Yeah, there you go. That's what you were going for. Except your delivery was awful.
Which one came first?
China came first.
Okay.
So I moved to China and then, you know.
To Shanghai?
Yeah, to Shanghai. Straight to Shanghai. Oh, God. I could not do anything outside of Shanghai. That's why I have ultimate respect for you boys. Because, seriously, I couldn't do it. I mean, I barely go to Beijing for a day. I'm in and out of there as quickly as I can.
No. I mean, there's plenty of great cities. Chengdu, Xiamen.
To live.
Yeah, Xiamen is fantastic.
Nope.
I don't see you living in Xiamen.
Right.
There is nothing there.
So you went to Shanghai and then you went to the Paris of the East, Manila.
I wasn't by choice. It wasn't by choice. Look, you know, the man had an opportunity there and it was like, fine, we'll go. But I want to make sure that I get something out of that year because it was only going to be for a year and then we're going to come back to Shanghai.
Right.
So I'm going to learn Chinese well with it. You know, I can take some time off work and... Right. That, you know, it was all very providential, actually.
Okay.
And it wasn't too planned or thought out on my part. But Yeah, it was good. It worked out. And
so 1 year in Manila.
1 year in Manila, 1 year hardcore Mandarin lessons, 4 hours every morning, one-on-one with my amazing tutor that I've already raved on about.
That's crazy good.
Wow, very good.
Monday to Friday.
Wow, at the weekend. Nice. Very nice.
And then homework every afternoon. She was so cool, though. I mean, you know, I walked into class the first day and I said to her, you know, I was all like cocky and shit. I'm like, oh, you know, I just want to learn how to speak. I want to be understood.
Whatever. I think every person walks into class just
saying that, that. Yes. Right? Yeah, right? Because you think anything other than that is beyond you, beyond your capabilities, right. Especially as an adult. Learning languages as an adult is a whole other kettle of fish. Yep. Anyway, and then she basically just looked straight up at me and she said, well, I'm sorry, I can't teach you. You're going to have to turn around and leave my classroom. I was like, whoa. I'm going to be paying you a lot of money. You know, you do what I want from you. And she's like, nope. Because if that's what you want, then you're not going to learn anything. Mm. And she then proceeded to, I was like, okay, fine. This woman's being a hard ass. And I kind of like that. I respect that. Let's see what she's got. And, you know, taught me the characters, taught me the culture, taught me, it was mind blowing. Like, she taught me China. No. I sound dramatic, but it was a turning point.
That's awesome. So now you can read, write, and speak, of course.
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, I think that's a good point is that, you know, one thing you might not think about learning a language is that a language contains a whole paradigm, a whole philosophy. It's like, unless you understand what the culture behind it, you're not going to really fully appreciate and understand the language.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, in the communication itself, right, it's so cultural.
Yeah.
The way
you express, you wave your hands.
Exactly.
I mean, when you enter Chinese mode, you enter Chinese mode.
Right.
And you cannot speak English in Chinese mode. It just doesn't work.
No.
It just doesn't work. It just does not communicate. And then you came back over here.
That's right.
Oh, so you stopped being a journalist when? When you moved to China?
Ages ago. Yeah.
Okay. And then you came back to China and you started looking for a job, or what happened?
Yes, I did. And, you know, I've kind of...
Before we go there. So you're over there. You're with this dude. You're back in Shanghai. Where's the dude? Are these his socks? Are those his forks? And then after there's no dude, and he just left his forks here, where was the turning point where you're still in Shanghai? Why are you still here?
I'm not with the dude anymore.
Is that it? Ooh. I think this place is cool. No. Because like sometimes it's like, okay, we break up. Why am I in a place that I followed somebody else to?
If I wish I had a dollar for every time someone asked me that question, and this is not just people in Shanghai. It's people back home. It's my family. It's my friends. Everyone's like, the first question is, okay. Well, the first reaction is, oh, sorry to hear that you split up. The second question is, are you going to stay in Shanghai?
Well, exactly.
I think the
question is, when are you coming back? The guy I work with, you know, he brought his girlfriend over from France, and they got to a fight. And first thing, you know, bad fight.
Explain home.
First thing, she went home.
Yeah, of course.
Now they're talking. Maybe she's coming back.
I understand. It might be frustrating, but I understand it as a bit of a fair question. But on the other hand, it's very typical. Like, for example, just living in Hawaii, for example, a bit of an isolated place. But I cannot tell you how many people I met there who asked you, so how'd you end up in Hawaii? Well, I met a guy here, or I met a girl here, and we came over, and that didn't work out, but I'm still here. Yeah. So, I mean, but there's always that fair question of like, oh, you didn't go back home? Something kept you here. What kept you here?
Exactly.
I'm in love with Shanghai. It's been my most successful relationship in my life.
Ah, okay.
Seriously. Like, me and Shanghai, we're like this.
Nice.
We're like this.
BFF.
We're inseparable. Oh, way more than that.
Why is this your BFF? Why do you love Shanghai so much? Okay.
I was going to say because she bends over every time I ask her to.
High five.
Well, she does. Just saying. See, hashtag just saying.
Wah, wah, wah.
But think about it. Okay, so now that I've put that out there, I'd like you guys to come back with it. Do you feel like you and Shanghai get each other? You just fit? You work?
No.
Sometimes I feel like... like I'm getting whipped by
But it's okay. I mean, I think no is not the right statement, but for a long time, Shanghai has been tough. Not tough. It's a great city, easy to live in, of course, all of that, but it's not a city that was super smooth. I don't know how to explain
that. But that's
not
what makes a good relationship or a successful relationship.
I don't want it to be smooth all the time.
If you fit in the groove and you fit in the rhythm, the fact that it's rough or it's hard, that you could ignore. That you could get over. But you need to be right in the rhythm. And Shanghai, I feel like I'm on the rhythm, but I'm not in the music. It's one of those really weird things that I get from Shanghai.
I feel you.
I got to say, so for me, I'm fairly new here, about half a year in. But so far, so good. I'm feeling the rhythm. If I was anywhere else, I feel like I'd be a lot more stressed about it.
Yeah.
I just feel the general sense of accessibility, opportunity, and just kind of positive growth in general here. You know, and that's just not just like saying like on a airy fairy spirit level. I'm saying just like the economy is just growing very simply, and you can tap into that.
It's kind of the guy that we're eating dinner yesterday with the guy, and he said that, you know, money's easy to catch everywhere, but it's just easier to catch here.
Yeah.
Mm. Exactly. You can be in a place where, you know, Hawaii, for example, the money is there, but to tap into that money stream and stream of opportunity is not easy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know?
Don't get me wrong. Shanghai is a wonderful city, super easy to live in. It's one of the best cities in the world.
One of the questions that people bring up is, why are you in Shanghai? Because you can't cut it in the States.
Do you hear that statement where people are like, why are you in China? You can't cut it, what, back home?
The opposite. I think in general, people from my versions of back home are always like, holy shit, you're in Shanghai, you're in China. That must be so hard. And how do you do it? And
I think that comes in two parts. People from there, people here are like, why are you here? And a lot of Chinese people will say, and I mean, I've heard it. They'll be like, why are you here? Why, you can't do this in your own home country?
In my case, if I tell them I'm from Singapore, they're like, oh my God, you're crazy. You could live in Singapore and you choose to live in China? What's wrong with you? Singapore's so clean and green and everything works. And
in my case, I just say, why struggle back where it's harder and find a place that's a lot easier?
I have heard that. And I think among ourselves, we've talked about it. You know, we've seen the scenarios of people who are from different places and seem to do okay here. They kind of, we say, get away with acting a certain way or being a certain way that they couldn't get away with being back home.
Douchebags.
Douchebags, well put, for lack of a better word. People who just can't hack it back home in Europe or Australia or Singapore or U.S., or whatever. And so they're looking for an escape, a place where they can kind of, you know, fly under the radar or kind of get away with shit.
But they're in the minority.
We've seen that. We've seen that here.
They're in the minority.
I think so.
Do
I think a loud minority. Because you see they're visible.
And maybe it's changing. You know, I mean, for example, being in Beijing 10 years ago, as we were, there was a lot less of your foreign peers to call you out. You know, but maybe in Shanghai, I see people, the foreigners in Shanghai have had to step up their game. You know, you might come here thinking, hey, I'm going to be the first one here with this idea and this kind of lifestyle and blah, blah, blah. When you get here, there's going to be people doing whatever you've thought of doing, having whatever lifestyle you've thought of having.
So let me ask the other question that comes to mind. Is it easier here in a broad sense than back home, wherever that might be?
That's a very loaded question.
Well, I mean, that's what it implies, and that's why people are like, "Oh, you can't hack it." So in your industry, or however you want to take that, you could say in your love life, in your industry, however you want to take it, in your freedom, in your drinking habits, whatever. Is it easier here in China than it is back in Australia or the States?
David's gonna go first.
Oh, I am.
Because you started.
Oh, my fault. It is a loaded question. I think it's really too loaded. But you have to unpack all these different categories. Is it easier to make money and make it equivalent to what you were making in the States? Yes, it's way easier to make money here. Is it easier to maintain a lifestyle that you can be happy with at the time being? I think yes, way easier to do it here than in the States. Is it easier to build a future for yourself? No, I think it's way harder here. Is it easier to have relationships and good friends? No, I think it's easier to make acquaintances, and you get really lonely because you only have acquaintances. Is it easier to find somebody that you're going to be compatible with for a long time? No, it's not, because that person can be moving back and forth, or maybe you're just from, say, two different countries, and there's no place to settle down. There's no middle ground. So if you're looking for, like, in Shanghai, an easy economic change for you for the time being, then yes. If you're looking for longevity, I say it's harder. Because
that's a good observation, I think so.
Even when it comes to economical aspects of it that might be easier, then you have to look at what are you doing as well. Is it enough for personal professional growth? Because yes, I can teach English here for say
$5,000 a month. But do I really want to be teaching English here?
It's not only that. I think that's a good, if I could just comment on that. I think a lot of professions. If you're a professional journalist and you come here and you make more money being an artist here or an illustrator, right? You're not growing your career as if you were an illustrator in London or New York. So you will be in a disadvantage in some cases, mm-hmm. even though you may be making more cash. Yeah. I think it depends.
If you're investing your time here, if you're learning the language, if you're learning how to work in China and learning that whole bigger picture of international, how can I say?
That's the problem we're getting into is because one of the things that you get when you get personal and professional growth is the acceptance and the admiration of your peers. And then when you move to a country like China or any other country that you don't have those peers around, it's hard to gain the admiration of the peers that you're actually working for unless you change that mindset. So let's just say I open a English school or jiu-jitsu school or whatever. Nobody understands besides the peers that I'm not even directing my efforts to in those accomplishments that I'm making. So I might be the best at whatever I'm doing here in China, but those people aren't that I'm actually competing with that were from the group I was from or the profession I'm from don't see this.
Yes. That could be true. I mean, if you're a world-class designer and you come here, the competition that you're – if you were a designer in London or if you're a writer in New York, they're going to be excelling and moving forward much faster.
Maybe.
You could be growing. You could be learning about China.
Well, maybe even if you're excelling at the same rate, but you're not even at the same competition level anymore. Yeah. Even if you are a better designer and you're working for a better firm and making more money and they're in Los Angeles or London – working for the same thing or even for less money or a different position, you guys don't have the same professional respect. You don't have it.
But I say the reason you don't have it is because by the calculation itself. If you're coming here, as a hired gun, meaning you're going to get more money, you're going to teach people how to do it because they cannot do it. In essence, you will not grow. You will sacrifice growing your skill.
Exactly.
You know, so when you go back to New York, London, Paris, whatever, your guys that made less money, worked in less positions, you know, if all things being equal, will probably excel faster.
Yep.
I don't know. I disagree because I'm with Wally on this one. I think the experience of having been here, especially in this sort of generation or in this decade,
it's
going to count for a lot. Yeah, absolutely.
If you go back and say you're a journalist or in marketing
that spent 10 years in China
and you pulled this off in China, it may not be as difficult as it sounds, but to those people back home, they're thinking just what you had also both said. You did that in China? How did you do that? You know, again, it may not have been any more difficult. There may have been more opportunities, but there are some hurdles you need to get over, some things you need to negotiate, some things, a lot you have to learn, things we might even have forgot about by now.
No, you know, let me put it this way. Just again, I'm going to use journalism as an example. Let's say you're an intern, whatever, low-level writer for the New York Times, right? Great publication. You're really low-level, right? And you get an offer as a journalist position at the English version of the Global Times. And 3 times, 4 times the salary plus an apartment provided. So you come over here and you do it for 1 year, 2 year, 3 year. You become the assistant editor. You go back to the New York Times. Meanwhile, the people you started are just becoming journalists. And they compare your writing from here to there. You're going to be behind. There's no way about it.
Fair point.
Oh, you did it in China. No. You were a hired gun. And that's –
okay,
I think it
is profession specific. It's industry specific.
Sure. Because exactly.
I got it. The point is if being in China – improves your capabilities and gives you experiences that's going to enhance your future professionalism. That's where the difference is. Exactly why journalism is a good example to prove your case, because writing for English language media in China is not going to make you better at it than your peers who stayed in New York. But, for instance, in my industry, marketing heavy machinery towards North Asian customers, industrial customers, so it's B2B marketing, and then going to New York in a B2B setting is just going to blow them out of the water, because if you can market heavy industry to Chinese industrial customers, you can market anything to anyone. I got a fist pump from Wally just FYI.
So is it industry specific then?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. So your example is great for your...
Is that why you're not a journalist anymore?
Exactly why I'm not a journalist anymore. For instance, FMCG. So if I was trying to sell
FMCG?
Fast moving consumer goods.
OMG.
Hashtag.
That's a hashtag right there. Hashtag FMCG. Yep. Yeah, if you said you were successfully able to sell shampoo or deodorant or, I don't know, whatever, shaving gel in China, and then you go back to New York and try to sell that as experience, it's probably not going to be that impressive.
No.
But, you know, coming back to your original question, is it easier? It really made me think. I think it's as easy as you feel on any given day.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
So some days it's easy and some days it's hard. It's just what it is. Whereas if you're back home, every day is a given. Every day is you don't expect anything from it. But when you're in Shanghai or away from home, there's an expectation that, you know, each day should be easier. Yeah, right. You don't take it as a given.
Actually, when we were doing an interview the other day, Isaac said it really good. Is like you get frustrated here with the things you take for granted at back home. That's one of the biggest stresses. You feel like you should take these things for granted, and when they're not presented to you like normal as you expect them to be, that's your hard days. Those are the days that you're just like,
true,
I'm done with this. I had one today. Shanghai.
We been by pop pills, now we Shanghai.
I know all of us here, from whatever nationality background we're from, we all have a immigrant background within two generations. I actually being like the furthest back two generations ago, I believe, right? So I'm just wondering, how does that affect us? You know, us being people who have, all of us have lived in different countries. Our parents or grandparents have come from different countries. And now
we're in a third country.
Now we're moving back, sometimes back to another that earlier country or back to that earlier region, and being again in like a new country again, in a new time of prosperity, in a new place of prosperity. Do you think our ancestry in the past generation too has influenced our thinking of maybe what is the possibility in life? Because for example, I go back home and I see my friends from high school back home, and when I tell them that I'm living in China and, you know, doing whatever, hustling or entrepreneurial endeavors or whatever it is, it seems like the logical next step kind of. And do you think that affects our thinking and our, just maybe our imagination of the scope of possibilities in the world?
To borrow a Jeffreyism at this point, I'm going to say 100%. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You got to have that sense of adventure and that spirit in you already.
Yeah.
I think it comes from more your individual sense, because I don't know your perspective, but I know I grew up in an immigrant community. I'm an immigrant myself. And you immigrate to a place and you're never, I mean, the mentality is we're coming here and we're never leaving this place. So migrants move around.
Well, that was your parents' mentality. We're coming here and never leaving. But you kind of inherited their first move vibes. Do you know what I mean?
That potential of understanding that there is a bigger potential in the world.
Maybe.
Where many people in the world have, if they grew up in Cleveland, hey, there's nothing outside. What's outside of Cleveland? Nothing. If they grew up in Hawaii or Oregon, what's outside of Oregon or Hawaii? Nothing.
You see a lot of immigrants. As you see the Greek community, the Iranian, the Mexican community. They're not going to immigrate to, let's say, Los Angeles, California, and then be like, okay, well, maybe I'll go to Spain next.
But their kids might.
Yes, but I don't know if that's because of that or...
No, you know. I mean, we can't draw a direct sort of...
It's not a direct correlation necessarily. Not cause and effect.
But I mean, I think that
imagination of the possibility.
I think it's more for people. And that's actually what we're talking about earlier with David is, yes, we know how to come to China. We know how to move to Philippines, for how to move to Japan, whatever, any other country, get on a plane, do it. But at what point do you consider that an option? Like, when does it actually click? My brother who's in Hong Kong, he wants to work on, you know, projects. He's looking, and he kind of looked at a few things. He's like, there's not much out there. And I was just at the moment it came to me, I was like, wait, there's Guangzhou, there's Shenzhen, there's Zhuhai, there's Zhongshan, there's Almen, there's Macau, there's, and that's just within an hour to 2 hours. Let's go to 3 hours. I mean, like, I didn't even think, like, at one point it just clicks and go, wait a minute. Yeah, no, there's a million things around here. There's a million billion things around there. You just have to kind of open your eyes, and it's hard.
And you need to be wired the right way.
What triggers for you to look at that point, and to look at, you know what? Oh man, this is not working. Look at Norway. Let's go try Norway. You know,
forget Norway. Kenya.
When people are out of work, looking for work, you know, in recent economic recessions, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, trying harder, you know, being more competitive and trying to, you know, get that extra edge in the job market. But it seems like the numbers say that your best bet to improve your chances for economic growth, for economic opportunity, is to change the place that you live.
Yes, yes. Look at kids going to schools, right? They're going to bad schools and bad neighborhoods, just moving across town.
And actually, I'm gonna take that back, because I don't think that has anything to do with, and I'm actually more with Jeffrey with this, after listening to the argument, is that I think that there's a couple of things. Is one is the way you're hardwired, which is one thing Banu said. The other one, I think it is, I think it's opportunity. Because a lot of people just don't have the opportunity. Like you're saying, let's get out of, I live in a bad neighborhood in the city of wherever, Washington, D.C. Most people don't have the opportunity or the means to get out of that area.
I think it's a mindset. I disagree.
It's part of the mindset.
I mean, my family came to Canada, $20 between all of us, between four people. But it's a mindset. It's a mindset that we're doing this, or we can do this. Mm-hmm. You could literally just go live in a tent outside on the other side of the city and probably increase your chances. You know, if you live in Detroit in an apartment and you go, I'm going to live in a tent in a prosperous part of the country, you're probably going to be better off at the end of the year.
And I believe that measures out statistically also.
Yeah, statistically measures it out as well.
You know, yeah, but it's resistance to change. You have to overcome the human.
And that's why we're talking about being hardwired. I mean, that was the first point, is that people are hardwired or wired, how they're wired to think of these adversities. And I mean, and I will say, let's go back, and it's not a generation thing. How many of us here would have made the move to China if we didn't have the scholarship or a boyfriend to bring us here?
I wouldn't have
got on a plane and said I'm going to China.
There's definitely more than one component.
Well,
to
maybe
this whole
thing. I
don't
know, but
there's definitely more than one.
Hawaii.
I did come to Hawaii, but then again, I had a means.
But I think this also goes into something that's now becoming a more focal point. Some of our quote unquote hard wiring actually does come from our ancestors' experience and our ancestors' DNA.
That is true.
You know,
that is true.
Okay, yeah.
It's hard to say exactly what percentage of it, but you know. People who were the adventurers, you know, the people who are the, probably terrible example, but the Christopher Columbus type.
There was a Harvard study actually that did that, because it goes into your DNA. And they could find it on your chromosomes of like, sorry, your grandmother was abusive to your mother's going to pass that down to you of being abusive to other people.
So now I'm going to do a complete 180 and be like, I'm sure it has to affect the fact that we come from immigrant families. Or.
And I think what's very interesting, being in China, especially what you see, is the re-immigration or the re-emergence of American-born Chinese, Canadian-born Chinese, Spanish-born Chinese, Australian-born Chinese.
They struggle, though. Sure, I think we have it easier than them.
Sure, there's difficulties, but I'm just saying.
But is it actually the immigrant parents? I thought about this a lot for myself. Is it because for me personally, I haven't had a stable enough household to actually get me grounded enough to stay in a place? I'm just not convinced that we can link it to, and I don't know why we're being doctors and scientists of study all of a sudden, but I don't know. It doesn't make sense for me. It makes more sense for me is because I moved around a lot as a kid and I don't really care where I am.
Well, sure, but that's a factor too. But his question is
again, not because my grandmother's from Poland.
What I'm just saying is, does having immigrant parents or recent generation affect the fact you're going to move? I would say genetically probably does. You know, not for me. Your question is moving around affect you probably. They could both be true. They don't actually have to.
Sure, everybody. Anything
each
can
other.
Be true.
But the real question is, what are we going to do with that understanding or awareness? What does it mean to us being here?
Well,
it doesn't mean anything to us.
We've moved ourselves to a better economic opportunity.
In some cases.
Yeah, or we've basically, you know.
And should therefore power through. Like we can do it. Is that what it, are we ending this
who
podcast on a high?
That
like
that
we
will
can
be,
do it high,
but,
like
know.
A Maoism.
Well, and I think what I was when we were discussing this topic earlier is for people who are in the States, from the States, or you know, you could be even immigrant to the States, is to really think and consider that what you think of possibilities and options, they're not only that. There's more, And the sooner you realize, I mean, the better economically you could be. Well, oh man, I'm having a hard time finding a job.
I agree with that.
100%. Have you looked at, I don't know, across town, different state, different city?
The bigger picture.
Bigger picture.
I have to say, there was a point when I was actually in university where it dawned on me, like, what my grandfather had gone through, actually taking a sailboat from Asia over to Hawaii, his best friend dying on the way, and holy shit, he did all this for a better economic opportunity, you know, and then, shit, actually, we can do the same thing, and we don't have to risk our life to do it. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not, actually not that hard. The concrete world is starting to get you. The city is alive. The city is expanding. Living in the city can be demanding. You've pawned everything, everything you own. Your toothbrush, jar, and a camera phone. You don't know where you're going. You cross the street. You don't know why you did. You walk back across the street. In a city.
Thank you everybody for listening today. Today's episode was about expats living in Shanghai and the hardships of being an expat, a migrant worker, or an immigrant. I think I've been them all in Shanghai. A special thank you to Banu.
Who?
Banu.
Bing bong!
For joining us today.
Saturday morning crazy show!
Thank you everybody for your messages. A lot of people have been asking when our next episode's coming out. Just want to let everybody know that we try our best to get an episode 10 to 14 days. It's just us doing the editing, doing the recording, going out and finding the interviews. So it takes a little bit of time. We are in the process right now of looking for sponsorships so we can get an editor. So we can cut that time down to 1 week so we can do an episode per week. Again, thank you for following us. Thank you for listening to us. If you know anybody or have any friends that might like the podcast, please tell them about our Facebook, our Twitter, or our Podomatic. Please leave a comment on iTunes. The more support, the better. I also want to give a shout out today to a new restaurant that is opening on Yongkanglu. If you live in Shanghai, the restaurant is a Portuguese wine bar and tapas bar. Go over there, say China MSG.
Who?
China MSG, and get hooked up.
Bob and the Dog. Roar!
And finally, the music for today was Little Kim, Queen Bitch, Neil Diamond's Coming to America, Nicki Minaj, Shanghai, and Flight of the Conchords, Living in the City. Again, thank you everybody for listening, and we will see you in about 10 to 14 days.
China.
Boo, 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 MSG.
Who?